The story begins in North Texas, one of the fastest growing regions and one of the fastest growing states. Cities like Arlington and Fort Worth are expanding. Jobs, businesses, and new development are booming.
It's a continuous rooftop from Dallas all the way to the Oklahoma border.
Linda Christie is the Government Relations Director for the Tarrant Regional Water District, the water authority for an 11-county swath of North Texas. She says this economic engine is fueled, in part, by water. But drought has hit Texas hard, and she says all this growth could dry up.
Well, you can't have economic development of an area without a sustainable, stable water supply. All of the locations, watershed locations close by, have been tapped for us. So now we're going to have to go 200, 300 miles, and most of it would be water that is being pumped uphill.
The Red River that forms the border between Oklahoma and Texas seems like an ideal solution, and the two states have a formal agreement on how to share its water. In 1980, Congress ratified the Red River Compact, giving Oklahoma and Texas, along with Arkansas and Louisiana, an equitable apportionment of water from the river and its tributaries. But what's equitable is arguable. Christie says Texas has to reach across the river to get its fair share.
Well, the problem is the Red River lies entirely within the state of Oklahoma.
Southeastern Oklahoma is the opposite of North Texas. The people here are poor, but the land is water rich, thanks to a confluence of rivers and reservoirs built with federal funding. Cities and towns throughout Oklahoma rely on this water, and the state has blocked Texas's efforts to tap it. And that's where the Supreme Court comes in. Texas says that 1980 compact gives it access to water that flows into the Red River, including water in the Kiamichi River.
And you look at the attachment that describes the subbasin, and it's highlighted in pink. It shows that it goes across state boundary lines.
The Kiamichi River lies entirely within Oklahoma's borders, and that's the rub, says University of Oklahoma professor Taiyawagi Helton.
Yeah, it's a challenge, right? If this was land, we could just draw a line and say that side's yours and this side's mine. But, you know, water is a fugitive resource, and it, as you say, it ignores those boundaries and it moves on its own.
Oklahoma argues the Red River Compact Authority does not supersede its own. State Senator Jerry Ellis's Capitol office is 200 miles away from his southeastern Oklahoma district. Ellis says North Texas hasn't gotten serious about conservation and is lying about its water needs.
Our poor, thirsty people in Dallas, Texas. There's nobody thirsty in Dallas, Texas. Don't hand me that.
Senator Ellis authored some of those protectionist laws that restricted out-of-state water exports. When it comes to water, Ellis says each state is out for itself, especially in a drought. He doesn't believe Texas will be a good neighbor.
You know, it's like giving Jack the Ripper a set of hunting knives on his promise to use them only at the dinner table. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen.
Oklahoma has won all the lower court battles so far, but Texas is encouraged that the Supreme Court agreed to hear the case. The Tarrant Water District has also been emboldened by a friend of the court brief filed by the U.S. Solicitor General, who sided with Texas.
Because it all revolves around the question of whether water is a commodity in and of itself.
That's Stephen Draper, a water expert who helped write guidelines for interstate water sharing for the American Society of Civil Engineers. He says the outcome of the Oklahoma-Texas water fight could make waves in other states. Here's why. The Red River Compact contains a lot of the same boilerplate language used in other state-to-state water sharing agreements. If the court upholds Oklahoma's anti-export laws, Draper says other states could be inspired to pass similar laws of their own. For State Impact, I'm Joe Wirtz.